I think we should spice up our
intro.
And not even say anything different. And I don't know what the answer is, but it now maybe
do you want her to like do it in like a Texan accent or? Whenever.
What if we go in a circle and everyone says a word?
Let's try it.
Let's see how fast we can do it.
Okay. Okay. Which direction are we going?
You start.
And you? Yeah. Okay. I'll start. Welcome to
Sisters
Not Saints,
the podcast
where
we
offer
real
life
advice
from
and what else?
From
the
sisters
you've
always
wanted.
Featuring
two
real
life
sisters
in
law.
Nope.
Sisters. Wait. Oh, Kristen.
And
Megan.
And
two
real
life
sister
Hillary
in
laws.
Well, sisters-in-law.
Sisters-in-law.
Hillary.
You messed up. Hillary.
And
Zoe.
I'm lost.
Sisters, not saints. You might think they're saints, but they. Some of them are sisters. Two of them have misters. But there's one thing that's for certain. It's their sisters, not saints.
Season 2, Work. Episode 7.
This is Hillary.
This is
Kristen.
Megan.
And I'm Zoe.
All right, guys. How's everybody's week been?
Great.
I mean, I hate to say tiring because I was traveling, but
it's
tiring.
Yeah. Shocker. One of us was at Disney World again.
I did have something weird happen with me this week.
No way.
It was really bizarre for me.
Care to share?
Yeah, but I'm worried y'all are going to judge and laugh at me.
We always do.
Okay. I know. So I got a chemical peel last week.
Oh, that's not weird.
That's really on brand for you.
Yeah.
And you've already had one. Except this time I did a more intensive chemical peel, and it was literally a week straight of my face peeling off.
Oh, love it.
No.
Yeah, that's how it works.
My skin feels totally different than it did before.
In a good way?
No. Feels like sandpaper now.
It'll feel better, though. It takes time.
Ready. That's your scab underneath. Just trust the process.
And my face was like bright red like a lobster.
Yeah. That's a chemical peel.
Yeah. Well, like normally I do a level one and it's like nothing. This was a level two.
I mean, it sounds like you needed a level two.
It was very intense. So that's what I've been up to.
What did you do for a week? You just went underground?
Yeah, sort of. It also luckily teamed up with a little bit of a stomach bug, so...
Ugh.
I think I just stress myself out so much about my face peeling off.
Are you one of those people who has the, are you one of those people that buys the food that lasts for 10 years so that if something happens, you have food for, you know, like the Mormons?
No.
There's a company now. Do you all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like
I know about the Mormon,
like doomsday preppers.
Yeah, but this is a brand of food that's all like dehydrated and it's lasts for 15 to 30 years but you can cook with it now if you want, and it's kind of good, and some people buy it and then every couple of years they'll cook it up so that they can buy more stuff, and a lot of Mormons have it, and it's there's a brand. I'm surprised you haven't gotten sold into that.
We grew up having to do this a little bit because we were temporarily Mormon, so every family has to do a little bit of doomsday prepping.
Well, yeah.
And around Y2K, our family really did put back a ton of supplies because we were...
Oh, yeah. We, like, our parents had those big blue barrels that you could put a dead body in our garage, filled with like grains
rice,
and
beans and tons of stuff. Water.
And then I think they realized one day that the end wasn't coming and we just started eating our beans.
We had tons of beans and rice for years.
Yeah.
This doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't. No, yeah. It shouldn't.
It is. Our family goes, like, hard in the paint on very weird things. And we go very hard and then we like get out quick.
Hold on.
What?
Hard in the paint. I'm going to fact check this.
Megan uses
right
this
now.
All the fact freaking time. It. 10 years ago, James and I had to fact check this because she was using it all the time. We were like, what are you talking about?
No one
fact
checks.
Fact check me.
Look at the Urban Dictionary one.
Fact check me.
Look at Urban Dictionary.
Number one. Hard into paint is a Waka Flocka Flame song.
Okay. Second.
No.
Second. It's the hard second one, dash in dash the dash paint.
No, the second
what?
One maybe
hard in the
hard
paint.
Hard in the paint, not into. Guys, I'm the creator
hard
of this.
Hard in the paint is a Waka Flocka song.
But because you think they may be...
He's referencing what is the disgusting act that goes along with this.
Yeah.
So wait, go to Urban Dictionary because there's going to be...
Wait, it's a disgusting act?
There's going to be a vulgar act.
I guess based on your preferences.
No, it means giving one's full effort.
No. Hard in the paint. Megan is bringing it back.
Megan is bringing it back.
Okay. Yeah. I see. Okay. But, here's what it means. Wait, let me tell Hillary.
But 10 years ago, that was the first one. Now, because of my efforts in bringing hard in the paint back.
Term. Okay, Hillary, it means to have sex with your significant other while they're on their period. In the paint. Hard
is
in the paint.
Is that the original?
No. Hard in the paint means full
it's
effort.
It's the Urban Dictionary version.
Yeah. And that's the Waka Flocka song.
It's like the street version.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, that makes sense.
It was a basketball term. Like, if you're going hard in the paint, it's like the paint on the floor.
Okay.
So feel free to now take that into your own. I've been trying to bring it back and make it popular.
So people just think that you're very, very into this.
Yeah.
You and Waka Flocka.
Yeah. I don't remember what we were talking about that brought up hard in the paint, but
Mormon,
feel free to
how our family goes hard.
Take that to the set. You take that to preschool.
I will not.
I'm not taking it to my play.
Yeah.
First grade mom's play setup.
Yeah. But it gets the
But we
across.
Might actually go hard in the paint there.
Yeah, y'all are going to go hard in the paint.
Last
so
week.
So speaking of doomsday bunkers.
What? It's actually funny that you brought that up because I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole last week with bunkers. And I started with this guy. So I heard about this guy.
You know, it's my dream to live in a bunker.
Well, dads too. You guys are very similar.
I could see you living in a bunker with your dad.
With your dad, yeah.
Have y'all seen Blast from the Past?
Yeah,
that
with
looks
Ed
so
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a long time.
And that just looks like the best.
When would you want to come back? Because you want to see your friends again.
Well, listen.
What if y'all are dead?
Listen
to
what
happened
to
this guy before you think about that too much.
Okay.
Okay, so there's this guy who lived in West Virginia. He went into a Y2K bunker. So, you know, around the time of the new millennium, 2000, everyone was worried that, you know, the world
the
was going to end.
Computers
were going to shut down. We fell victim to that a little bit ourselves, as we just said. But this guy who was a former coal miner, his name was Dale Truesdale, built a bunker. He had a preparation plan in place where he had an above ground rainwater collection system. He had 21,500 gallon septic tanks for waste, and he stockpiled 16,742 cans of SpaghettiOs. So that was 2 cans per day.
Oh, I couldn't live in a bunker.
I could eat SpaghettiOs 2 cans a day forever. I love SpaghettiOs.
That's disgusting.
Well, our friend Dale went down into the bunker and had a plan with his neighbor. His neighbor was supposed to open the hatch if nothing happened the next day, and the neighbor did not open the hatch.
What?
He just emerged 22 years later from his bunker.
Wait, sorry. Where was he keeping his poop?
He had a septic tank. He built a septic
tank.
That's
your first. The cat unplugged my mic, so I missed a lot of what you just said.
So this got me started on the whole bunker thing.
Wait, if he's in a bunker and there's a septic tank, why wouldn't those fumes just be filling up the...
Well, I don't think a septic tank... I mean, you have a septic tank and your fumes don't fill up your house.
It's not connected.
But if he was underground in a latched thing, then the air from the septic tank would be related to him.
The septic tank could be down from you.
Yeah. It's not in the bunker with you. You need then to talk to someone about septic tanks. I don't think you understand them.
I
know you don't.
But if he's in an enclosed thing underground.
Yeah. And then there's a thing called a pipe.
Yeah. But if... In 22 years, that would need to be pumped.
I mean, has yours been?
Well, okay. So
it leaches into the ground, which is what fills the air that he is breathing in. So it would just fill up with gas. And it just feels like that would be...
Well, he's still alive. He made it out.
Okay.
But wait, why didn't his neighbor open the hatch?
Okay. Let me get into this a little bit more.
Because that seems like it should be...
So I started to dig into this a little bit. And I had a lot of these same questions. And I started looking into bunkers. And I found two other... wild bunkers out there. Mm-hmm. And so I have a game of which bunker is bogus.
Okay.
Okay.
Starting with the first one I mentioned.
Okay.
And
wait, so that one might be fake?
One of these bunkers is not
including
real.
Including the one you just told us about.
I have three bunkers to tell
you
about.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So the first one is Dale Truesdale of West Virginia, who was in his bunker for 22 years.
Because his friend didn't open the door.
Didn't open the hatch.
Okay.
Yes.
Zoe's already thinking that this is the fake one because there's no way he could have survived the fumes of his own poop.
Second bunker is in Norway. Oh, it's called the Global Seed Vault. And it's in Norway. It's actually nicknamed the Doomsday Vault.
Yes.
That's what you think is true? Okay.
Yes, because I follow...
I know about that one.
Do you follow the girl on TikTok?
Nope.
Oh.
I just know about all the seeds.
I bet you do. Let me tell you her opening. Hi, my name is Cecilia and I live on an island close to the North Pole.
Svalbard.
Maybe.
Yeah. And she talks all about it and she like walks by the vault all the time and she's like, that's where all the seeds are.
So do you want to tell more about what it is for people that don't follow?
No, I'd like for you to, because I didn't do my research.
Okay. The Global Seed Vault.
It's where all the seeds are.
Basically, it's just in the event of like an apocalyptic event. It's where all the seeds are housed from every country in the world so that if the worst were to happen, we could hopefully get to this vault and start regrowing food again.
I got to be honest, because I follow this Cecilia. I live on an island close to the North Pole. she documents her life living on this island. And if there's some kind of apocalyptic event, we're not going to be able to get there because it's hard for her to get in and out of there.
I know. It is very, very hard to get to this place.
I mean, I guess maybe somebody there will be able to.
They list their exact like coordinates, latitude and longitude. And I thought, well, first I'd have to learn how to navigate.
Yeah, we're not going to make it there. It's going to have to be somebody.
And it's honestly, it's too hard to get there. Okay, but anyway, on to the third bunker.
Okay, so now we just know we have to figure out if one or three is the fake.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll confirm after everyone guesses.
We're also well-educated.
I have audio for this one, but it is an Oreo Doomsday Vault. Let me play the audio.
Okay.
I received a call with a strange request from Oreo to build a vault that works just like the Global Seed Vault. These Global Vault opportunities don't come around too often, so I accepted. I'd hate for the world to lose Oreo cookies.
No, I think don't touch them.
It's a big responsibility. But I think that I will not be a failure this time.
Wow!
It's perfect.
Take a look at this vault that was built in Norway to protect Oreos.
The idea comes from the Global Seed Vault you see there, a structure in Norway where various seeds are stored in case there's a natural or man-made disaster.
I thought this was a joke at first.
This is real.
I hope there's a milk vault.
He's actually real.
So an Oreo vault.
They also go on to say that the Oreos are wrapped in Mylar packs to prevent them from...
No,
being destroyed by radiation and extreme heat. And since this has been such a hit, other brands have sent their things like Sour Patch Kids, sent their products over. There's a ton of them. Basically, every popular food and candy brand has sent their items there as well. So,
no, because I love that idea and I want to be in that bunker if something goes wrong.
But which bunker is bogus?
It's got to be the Oreo.
I have a lot more questions about Dale. Why...
Well,
did he only have one friend in the world? The one friend didn't open the door. He didn't have any family. No one was like, hey,
where's Dale?
Where'd Dale go?
So here's what I heard about his friend, Jim, who was supposed to open the door.
Of course, it's a Jim.
Of course. Jim was having an affair with his wife.
No, this cannot be.
Jim and the wife have a 14-year-old.
Oh, no. And is he being charged with kidnapping? For not opening the door to the bunker?
That is true.
Well, I guess not his kid. And I guess the guy could have opened the door at any time. He wasn't locked in there. Oh. He was there by his own choice.
Yeah, but he thought that there was like a nuclear attack.
Not nuclear. He just thought the world was shutting down. He could have at any point opened the door.
He could open his own door.
There was no nuclear like component to this. It was just computer system shutting down. He really went overboard.
And I do know that there are basements with bathrooms, but I'm just still stuck on that's a really enclosed concrete space. And I don't understand how the septic works down there.
I don't understand how you could go that long without peeking.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a true test of will. My basement's underground and the septic is above the toilet. So it's an upflush toilet and it has to go uphill.
I don't think his septic's going uphill.
So that's your vote. Number one is bogus?
No.
I vote number one.
Okay.
I vote two.
I think they're all real.
I vote Oreo.
No, that's real.
No, because you don't need to store the product.
I know you could store the recipe, but it doesn't cost very much to have a bunker full of every candy in the world that gets a lot of advertising to all these companies.
No, it's it costs more than you think.
It costs
a bunker.
I think it's like a gimmick. It costs less than the advertising cost.
Well, why don't we start a bunker where we store candy? Like, hey, whatever the one in Norway is charging you.
Advertising.
Yeah, but whatever the one in Norway is charging you, we'll charge you a quarter of that. Send your candy to us.
No, that one's just an advertising trick and it's working because we're talking about it.
Can you imagine though if people started sending you their candy to keep safe?
It would never make it.
Yeah, it was sending it to the wrong house.
It wouldn't even. No, of course it would
They'd
not.
They'd be like, guys, we lost the last Sour Patch. Call Zoe. She's like, I ate it the first day.
It's never going to make it through the apocalypse, guys. It's not even going to make it through Zoe.
No, it's got to be Oreo. And here's why. Because this guy that they deemed worthy enough to build the bunker called them Oreos.
He had an accent.
He's from Norway.
No, they would have taught him how to say Oreo.
You don't even know how to say your name.
Norway. That's just how they say it. That's just their language. All right. So you think it's the Oreo bunker that's fake. Hillary, what did you think? The first one?
The first one.
Zoe, what's your final answer?
What's your final vote?
They're all real.
Wow, you guys have three answers. Okay, you want me to reveal the answer?
Mm-hmm.
Number one was bogus. I was sucked in by it, though. That's what got me into the bunker research, because it is going around TikTok.
Yes, because I've seen
videos.
That.
Yeah, there's people that are like doing reaction videos to it and everything of like this man emerging from a bunker, but it's fake.
I wish it were real.
I wish it were real, too, because I'd really want to talk to him.
That man would have wasted 22 years on his cheating wife.
I'm glad it's not real for him, but it would be so interesting because, you know, we always talk about like, what if you took someone from the past and dropped them now? Yeah. What would they think? It would be so interesting to get his thoughts on the world from 1999 until now. Because
like, what are the things he'd be shocked by?
Smartphones.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because that's like all like people who have been wrongfully wrongfully convicted and they're released like 20 years later and they're like, oh wow, what's Facebook?
To spend 20 years in jail.
Yeah You can get behind so quickly, especially the way technology is moving. But think, he would have even missed COVID, the pandemic and all that stuff.
A lot
In jail didn't miss that.
So I have one of my neighbors there. It's a very mysterious neighbor because I never see this person. They get a lot of packages delivered.
Is it you?
And I realize as I'm saying that, like, this must be what the neighbor who hates me thinks. But no, they get, like, for me to notice it's a lot of packages, you know, it has to be a lot. Like, I every single day, it's like stacked up like six deep on their door. And I never see them. And they have cardboard like over their little, what are those side lights beside the door? So you can't see in. And they've got like signs that are like, no soliciting, don't ring doorbell. A few months ago, they had a like bunker delivered into their garage.
Ooh.
I know.
It's probably a tornado shelter.
Yeah, it probably is, but it still feels very mysterious because I never see them. Are they in the bunker?
It's always people like that, though, that would get a tornado shelter.
Yeah, they're probably just really paranoid.
Yeah, just paranoid and scared of the world and introverted. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're going to have a bunker.
My friends had a tornado shelter in their basement and I hated going down there. It was so creepy.
Mm-hmm. I bet. I'd be scared. My dad has talked about building a bunker big enough for like 30 people on his property.
I hope he does.
I'm so scared. Like, that just does not seem appealing at all to ever have. But he's like, well, when the day comes that you do need to be in a bunker, wouldn't you rather have one than not? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, but I feel like he also runs a little paranoid and I feel like he could get us locked in there for
22 years.
I feel like he would love to get us down there.
Be like, Zimbickies, come open the door. Nothing happens. And we're going to be like, this is the greatest experiment.
Let's see how long they stay in there.
They're like, we're just going to go back and forth between our four houses now. And
leave them in the bunker.
22 years later.
Help us.
They'll just have forgotten about us.
Yeah. And Zoe's going to be like, don't open the door. The fumes will kill us all.
If the apocalypse does happen, I do want to go to the candy Oreo bowl.
I want to go there now.
Wait, so it's also in Norway? Candy. Yeah, it's in the same town.
It's on Svalbard, an island close to the North Pole.
Yep, that's where it is.
Wow.
They built, and it started with a tweet. One person said, what are we going to do if there's an apocalypse and we have no Oreos? And so Oreo, as Zoe said, like a advertising gimmick kind of thing, they followed the global seed.
I wonder if Cecilia's talked about this.
You should look. I'm sure she's got videos about it.
Her life seems so interesting. She goes and gets her nails done and she like lives in this little village and it just looks magical.
Interesting.
It's funny that you mentioned she gets her nails
done.
Like,
that's
like,
some, we know Celia.
Well, also just that's some, like, her life's so interesting. She gets her nails done.
Well, yeah, it is interesting because like if you see her life, And then she's like, okay, it's time to get my nails done. And she like goes to this woman's house who also lives in like a little cabin. And it's just so quaint.
Megan's tried to get me sucked into this before. And I just can't get into
it.
It's
so good. It's really good.
Too quaint for me.
All right. I have some more live fact checking before we finish this.
Okay. All right. Hit us.
You can build a bunker from septic tanks.
Ew.
It doesn't have to be a new one. It can just be the structure of a septic tank.
That makes sense.
Because it's a cold concrete thing underground. That's number one. Also, you can have a bathroom in a septic tank. You can do the compostable toilet because that's not making those fumes. You can also have a septic tank and it just needs to be
the pipe that I told you about.
I understand, but it just... It needs to be set up in a way that it's...
The air's not coming back in.
Yeah.
If
it comes back in, you're dead.
Because if it's like a nuclear situation.
Yeah, but that's true for any situation.
Not in your house. If the air... It comes back in and it's not going to fill up your... Your house isn't that airtight. It's not underground with no air being able to...
Because if you have like an atomic or nuclear situation, you don't want air coming in your house. And your house is not airtight.
No. I'm not running from a nuclear situation.
Me either. I've already decided after watching Walking Dead, I'm just going out gracefully, early.
I agree. Yeah, I'm not fighting zombies.
No, I'm not. I am not traversing the plains and going and fighting zombies
from a
and worrying about my children the whole time. No. I would just go find a comfy house and just. I'm not fighting zombies.
Become an angel.
Yeah,
in the easiest, simplest way possible. But I'm just letting you guys know, I am not prepared for Armageddon. I am not going to be fighting it with you. I'm out.
By we, I mean Peter, my husband, and myself lived in Albania for a year, and there are 750,000 bunkers there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Have you been inside one?
Many of them.
Mm. Wait, why do they have bunkers?
That was a weird noise.
That was a weird noise.
Like a mouth waterfall.
After World War II, I believe, their leader... I'm going to get all of these words wrong, but his name I know was Enver Hoxha, was a communist.
Communist.
He was a dictator. Yeah. And he did a lot of really terrible things. But one thing he did was he spent a ton of money building military bunkers all over the country to use in war. And they were never used for that. And it was a huge waste of money. And then eventually he died and there was a new regime that took over. But now they have all of these bunkers all around the country, and some now at this point are being used, like they've turned some into cafes or little shops, or there's just...
They're kind of above ground.
Well, there's like a dome that goes above ground, and then but it's underground that you walk into.
They're on the beaches.
They're literally everywhere. They're all over the country.
It sounds kind of nice.
It's like every... There was a rule that's like every certain amount of feet or like every third of a mile or whatever, there has to be a bunker. And
I feel like they're very prepared for anything that could happen.
No, I mean, now at this point, I don't think they're that useful. They're old and a lot of them are dilapidated, but there was a music festival when we lived there. It was the first one, and it was Bunker Fest is what they called it. And there was this field where there were a lot of bunkers and they did a music festival out there. And then Peter, myself, and our friend at the time spray painted some bunkers, like decoratively, because we had this idea, like there's just these concrete mounds everywhere. And
was it vandalism or this was encouraged?
I mean, neither.
Is this why you had to flee Albania?
We didn't flee. No, we did it to make it pretty, because it was just like a concrete mound and we like painted them to make them look nice.
In another country? What if they had laws against
that? No, after we did it, several other people did it.
After you did it, though?
But you didn't have permission.
No.
It was vandalism.
Yeah.
Let's check and see if there's like a warrant out for Hillary and Peter in Albania.
It wasn't. Maybe we were a little nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was nice. There was this.
I bet you were nervous. I don't think Peter was nervous.
No. Peter 100% wasn't nervous. No. There was a cable car that you could take up to the top of one of these mountains in Tirana, which is the capital. And the cable car went up over... you know, just really pretty land, but there were several bunkers. And so we did a big one right under the cable car so you could see it when you went over.
That's interesting.
That's cool. Do you have a picture of it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you'll have to post that.
Yeah. We got lots of pictures of us doing videos.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are tons and tons of bunkers in Albania.
That's just weird.
Mm-hmm. So we would hike all over and we traveled all over the country, like Zoe said, the beach or wherever, and we'd always go and look in a bunker. Peter got injured on a beach not long after we moved there, and he had to go see a doctor to get his he had to get stitched up in his leg, but the doctor worked inside a bunker.
So you're out traveling and just looking in bunkers, but what if you find like something nefarious? I imagine that would be a good place for vandals to hang out.
Yeah. I mean, they were like, they weren't that big. Mm. So it didn't ever feel scary really looking into them.
And it's not America. It's not like everyone has guns.
True.
Yeah. And the dome was exposed. Could you even get into the bottom? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went in several of them.
Maybe because I only saw a lot of the beaches one and you couldn't really get into them.
Yeah.
You could just climb on the tops of them.
It just seems dangerous.
Looking in the bunker?
And having people able to just go into them.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah, it just seems weird. Like, imagine if here we just had like abandoned bunkers and people just out there doing weird things. You know, Americans would out be doing weird.
Well, Americans are
stuff.
A little naughty.
Yeah.
They'd be
like homeless people would be living in them. What stops that from happening?
Honestly, I wish we had bunkers for them to live in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying
they had a place to go.
Yeah, but I mean, but how do you keep them from just becoming like drug dens?
I don't know. I mean, there may be some used for that, but I never saw that happening.
Mm. Wow.
I don't know.
It's crazy. Mm. Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Okay, would you believe it if I told you that there was a man who lived for 82 years and died at 82 without ever in his life having met, seen, or heard of a woman?
Sounds delightful.
Heard of a woman? Like, mm-hmm. No one introduced the concept of a woman to him?
Like, he thought only men existed?
Yes. But how did he, think he was birthed?
I can tell you his background if you'd like to know.
I would like to know how he thinks he was brought into the world.
Okay. His name is Mihailo Telotos. He was an Orthodox Greek monk who lived for 82 years and died. His mom died 4 months after he was born. And then the men in his village brought him up to this monastery that is still there in Greece. And it was around 1856. So he obviously saw his mother, but it was when he was 4 months old that she died. Mm-hmm. And then in this monastery, which you can still visit, it's still operational, they have a very strict no female policy allowed.
Well, I guess I can't visit then.
You can't. Male tourists can visit, mm-hmm. but females are not allowed. And they have a very strict no talking, no, like, so he did go to school, but there's no talking. Like, they take vows of silence, vows of chastity, vow, like, they don't, they're monks, you know, so they're just mm-hmm. meditating. And so he was around all men, never met a woman, never saw a woman, never spoke, etc.
But what did they teach him in school?
Like, a, you know, adhering to God's will. Like, I mean, whatever, you know, just living a peaceful, meditative life.
So do we think he was unable to speak?
No, I think he can speak.
But
I think
if
he
you've
could.
Never been allowed.
Right.
How would you even know?
Yeah, that part I don't know. It says Mount Athos has a strict policy against allowing women to explore the area or the monasteries, but men can go. And then when he died at 82, there was a newspaper clipping which ran in an Athens newspaper and said that he died without ever having seen a woman. He had never beheld an automobile, a movie, or an airplane. His mother died when he was born.
Never beheld.
Beheld. This was from the 1800s. I'm reading his actual obituary. He became a monk, and monks at the monastery gave him a special burial ceremony because they believe he was the only man in the world never to see a woman.
That's just...
And you're not allowed to leave the monastery. So he doesn't even know like what's outside it. He just...
Yeah. Okay, but what religion was he?
Buddhist.
I guess Buddhist.
Well, monks, I think, can be different religions.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't say that.
And you said
I
guess Greek, right? He was Greece.
I can look it up.
Because I'm just curious what he was studying, because surely in whatever holy book he was reading, weren't women in it?
Right. Yeah, but maybe he thought they were mythical.
There's not a lot of women in the holy books.
There is in the Bible.
But a lot of bad things.
Not that many.
There's enough to know they exist. There's plenty of women in the Bible.
Okay, let's see. The monastic community of Mount Athos is an Eastern Orthodox community of monks in Greece. They hold the status of an autonomous region, as well as combined rights of a decentralized administration, blah, blah, blah. So it's like they're their own country. It's a territory that they govern themselves. They speak Greek, so it's Greek Orthodox.
Which is Christian?
No, I don't know if they're technically Christian. I think it's its own thing.
But do they study the Bible?
Let me see.
Because you wouldn't think it was mythical if you're a monk. You believe it.
I don't know what Greek Orthodox studies. Let me look. Oh man, this goes back. This goes back to like the Byzantine era. So it's like
it's 700. Different than Christianity.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for fact checking. Yeah. So it's not Christianity. So I don't know what's in the books, but it's a very old religion.
But I wonder what he thought whenever he experienced sexual urges. Like, I wonder if he became attracted to men.
Maybe.
Or was just really confused.
Right. I'd just die of boredom. I couldn't do that. Even if I didn't know another way, I just couldn't. I'm just not that dedicated to anything.
Like, we know.
There's no way.
It says there's 2,000 men that live in this monastery to this day, and that they're young and well-educated.
No, I would say false.
They possess university education and advanced skills that allow them to work on the cataloging and restoration of the mountain's vast repository of manuscripts, vestments, icons, religious objects, and other works of art.
Oh, hey, they're
most
dedicated.
Of which remain unknown to the public because of the sheer volume. So I don't know. They're doing their own little work in their own little village. They're probably like the happiest.
They probably are.
People on the planet.
They have nothing else to worry. They're not worried about anything
they're
else.
They're not worried about making money. I don't know how they get food. They probably do their own farming.
They're not comparing themselves to others.
Yeah, they're not fighting over women.
Let's be monks.
Let's all become
monks.
What's
a female monk?
A monkette.
A nun.
Let's be monkettes.
Nuns. You know, a nunnery would be so much more drama than a
Have you seen Sister Act?
That's my vacay movie. I watch that when I'm on vacation.
Yeah, but I can't imagine. I don't know. Just it's weird that you could live your whole life never seeing the other sex.
It is really weird.
It's strange.
Really bizarre.
Yeah. And did he miss anything?
Yeah, of course he did.
You think?
But would he think that he missed anything?
Yeah, maybe not. But yeah, if you never knew, I mean, what is there to miss?
Relationship? Love?
If he feels perfectly at peace and content, I don't know. It's just interesting to think
about.
Same
as a nun. They're like married to God.
Yeah.
So.
That's such truth.
It just seems weird.
I guess it's good he didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or any different.
Right. Ignorance is bliss.
All right. If you had to go into a bunker for 20 years, what's one thing you'd have to have with you?
Outside of like kids and family,
right. Yeah,
obviously.
You can't say like
not people.
Some kind of. Wait, would you rather have to go in a bunker for 20 years or be a monk for 20 years?
A monk. I would love to be a monk. That's like my dream.
You can't talk to anyone.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. No, maybe you a can't. Bunker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, bunker.
I would love to be
a
monk.
No, there would be other women there.
Because you're doing work with
them.
Yeah,
but if you've taken a vow of silence, you can't talk.
You can't talk, but you...
But who cares?
Actually, I think you are allowed to talk, just not...
Yeah. I could do that
certain times.
I could do that now.
Like, I don't know if I'd like all the rules.
Mm-mm. No, I'd rather be in a bunker.
I would love to just be reading and restoring art and living in a Greek monastery.
Yeah, I'd rather.
And
I'd
not
rather
talking. It sounds heavenly. No noise.
A Japanese monk.
Yeah, it sounds delightful.
They're up there in the mountains.
Megan and I are going to be in the bunk watching Sister Act over and over again.
Inhaling
our septic fumes.
I'm going to be like in the peaceful coast of Greece reading books.
Y'all aren't going to like that.
And cleaning up paintings.
You can't go anywhere. You're stuck with one movie.
Can't either. You have to live in a monastery in silence and meditate all day.
No, all the tourists come to visit. I get to
sweep. You
can't
talk to them.
I don't need to talk.
This
we'll
is what I do
contact.
Anyway.
I'll sweep the floor. I'll watch the waterfalls. I'll hike up to the top of
and
the
those
whatever.
Tourists are gonna
I don't
even
know
write.
You can leave
yeah I don't think you.
I think
we,
you can write
we've
notes
we've been to monasteries with monks we've seen them
but we didn't see them leave right. They weren't like hanging out at the beach.
I don't need to leave if I'm in that peaceful environment. I'm
to.
Good
they can travel. You've seen them on like
well this guy went for 82 years without ever seeing
that's
a woman.
Special monk.
Yeah, I was like a
but okay. I just mean they well, can leave their own little area and hike up, you know, further and
no if Hillary and I have to be in a bunker, you guys have to be in a strict.
That's fine.
With no tourist.
No tourist. Yeah. You don't even know about men.
I was made for this.
No, you weren't.
I was made for it.
You
I
can say a lot with eye contact. Most yes. of
okay.
communication is body language. Kristen and I could have a whole conversation.
All right, I want to see y'all's conversation. Ready? Go. Hold on. Don't start yet.
Okay.
Kristen, you say something first.
No, you're talking.
You can't talk.
You're already kicked out of the monastery.
You can't mouth things. Okay. Now, Zoe, you respond.
Neither one of them know what they're saying to each other.
No. Yes, we do. So peaceful. We would pray. Yes. We would have an amazing day. She would sleep. We would read. We'd have a great time. Yeah.
We can read and sleep too and talk about it.
And you're breathing in your poop fumes.
And watch movies. And
it'd be so hot down there too.
No, we have a bed AC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if
we're in your dad's bunker. It's nice.
I don't know if you saw Blast from the Past. But he had a cool bunker.
Okay, so I'm calling you guys bunker bitches.
Okay, then we're going to call you monastery mamas.
We'll have to duke it out with our listeners and see where they would go.
Well, but yeah, but y'all can't talk, so.
We don't need to. We're on social media. I would love to not show my face. I'll just type all day long.
No, you're not going to be able to type. You can't use a computer.
That's great. No. I'll just write my little notebooks.
Mm-mm. No, you'd go crazy.
I don't think I would.
No, I know you would.
We're going to get DoorDash to our bunker.
Exactly.
I'll just be eating olives.
I'll put the Dunkin' bunker door really fast, throw it in. What is our Starbucks?
No, there's going to be like a little chute they can put it down.
Yeah. 6 months later, I'll like flee the monastery. Like, let me enter the bunker. I want to watch Real Housewives.
Oh, man. All right. Should we get into some...
Help some other people get out of their underground.
Yeah,
help some other bunker bitches.
Okay,
want me to read one?
Yeah. Read it. Monastery mama.
Okay. I'm the main monastery mama.
Oh, wow.
Zoe, she's already like trying to overtake you.
Because I'm telling you, this is where I'm going to thrive. My teen has had a rough few years. First came an arrest for shoplifting. The item was small, so it was only a misdemeanor. But a few months later, she was with some friends who were smoking pot and driving too fast. Second misdemeanor. With some serious consequences at home and talks, she has promised she's turning over a new leaf and seems to be on the right track. She's doing well in school, coming home by curfew, and having a much better attitude. Last week, we loosened her restrictions, and I got a call from the police station saying she was with a group of kids who broke into a liquor store and stole White Claw and vodka.
Oh,
to complicate things, my brother-in-law was just promoted to chief of police.
Oh, God.
Am I totally wrong to go to this station and see how I can get her out of this jam, or should I let her accept whatever consequences are coming? I don't want her teen rebelliousness to ruin her future. Help.
I think her parents should get her out of trouble. I don't think most parents should do that. This mom needs to get her kid out of trouble and then not let her hang out with those friends.
But didn't she already try that?
She needs to try something new.
Well, but why do you think most parents shouldn't and this one should? What makes her different?
Because it's a third strike. I don't think like the first time her mom should go there kicking and screaming and be like, my child can't get in trouble. But... this daughter needs new friends. And
this is bad because she's got two misdemeanors and now breaking into a liquor store. That's probably a felony, right? Can we look that up? Is that great?
Well, it depends on the state and all that. But I imagine that if your brother-in-law just got promoted to chief of police, he's probably not going to, knowing her history.
And there's other kids involved.
Yeah, he's not going to be like, done.
Yeah, I was gonna say I would hope that my brother-in-law would just do it without me having to.
Yeah, but I don't think that he would.
I think he would. It's so easy to just not press charges on something. They don't even need to write it up. Let all the kids go. Okay, it's up to the police.
They have to because the liquor store is involved, and a liquor store needs that report to get their insurance money.
I know this is the wrong answer ethically, but full disclosure: if this were my kid, I would go talk and try to get him off.
Yeah,
and try to deal with it at home. And it sucks because I feel like I probably have a better chance of that than a lot of other people in the world just because of like white privilege and being in a wealthier area maybe and having some connections. And that really sucks. But as a mom, this is wrong. But yeah, I would try to get him out of that because it does ruin. That would be probably a felony.
Yeah, but she's already been caught twice. She already has two misdemeanors.
She's a stupid teenager with bad friends.
We all have probably done things that are definitely misdemeanors, maybe worse. I don't know. Not with them pointing at you. I'm just saying all of us. Maybe worse.
What you do?
We know about her.
I painted a bunker
in Albania.
I don't know. I just feel like the first time that she got caught and had this misdemeanor, it should have been a wake-up call.
If that was
kids don't wake up that easily.
If they're rebellious by nature.
The second time should have been a wake-up call. Now, the third time, you're going to a liquor store. You're making so many choices.
So you're
going
to let her maybe not be able to get into college.
Yeah.
Which puts her on her worst path.
Shouldn't be ruined. Because she was a teacher.
Okay, so what happens? Get a college degree. She
gets off this time and thinks, my parents are just going to get me off, chief of police. And then she goes to college and gets into worse trouble.
At that point, she's on her own. But if she's still in high school and you have the chance of maybe doing this and maybe putting her in some kind of strict school or something.
But it says that they've already tried and...
Okay, they obviously didn't try very hard.
They probably took away her phone and like her... privileges for a little while.
Well, then I judge them as parents, that if your daughter has two misdemeanors and you're thinking that the way you solve this is taking away her phone.
But one of them was shoplifting a small item. Who hasn't done that?
I haven't.
You've never shoplifted a small item?
No.
Okay, I definitely have. Zoe?
My friends did for me.
Okay, so you by your default, you're just as guilty. Mm-hmm. Megan? My first one was age 5.
I mean, I feel like I probably have. Candy. I can't remember, but I feel like I probably have.
Second one was smoking pot and driving too fast. We've all done that.
I thought you were talking about you.
No, like, no, I've never been caught for anything I've done, but I'm just saying.
I have to go through my list of misdemeanors.
Right, yeah, but I'm just saying it's things that are like
harmless things.
We've all done, and our kids probably will do them at some point.
Yeah, but you know what's not harmless? Breaking into a liquor store.
That's where it gets bad, but that's the first really, really bad one.
I don't know.
I said let her go. Let her go free.
I would try. I mean, you may not be
but that's
successful.
Coming from you, Zoe.
What would you do, Hillary? You're usually more sound morally.
You had the high school experience of, what's that show?
No, that's Zoe. Yeah, she grew up with
that's
the
what
Euphoria.
I'm saying. Is like, of course she's going to say let her go.
Because she grew up with the Euphoria childhood. The show, not like a euphoric experience.
It was euphoric. No, but I did have friends who got arrested and who had felonies. And I don't think their life should have been affected over something that was in high school. One girl got a DUI.
Okay, so
she drove drunk once and got a DUI. And that was on her record for a really long time.
When do we start holding people accountable? What's the age?
College.
Yeah, when they're 18. And even then, it's like people
like 21.
And yeah.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. If she's a teenager, whatever happens to her, she's most likely, if it's not serious, going to be charged as a juvenile. Her record at 18 will be sealed and nobody will know about it. But she still does deserve to pay some consequences.
She didn't say the age, though. She could be 18.
Well, then.
I don't really even believe in juvenile jail.
No, I don't
know. Well, how can we put children in jail?
It's awful. And it just teaches them worse things, honestly. That's the opposite of what they need. They don't need to be disconnected from their families when they're going through this period of dysregulation. Okay, so yeah, Hillary, what would you do?
I honestly don't know. This is a tough one for me because I feel like if it were my child, I probably would, like Kristen, want to help them where I wouldn't want it, especially if they were 18, it's their senior year. What if they're about to go to college? You don't want it to ruin their life. And I'm sure that I would do something and think like I'll handle it at home better. Or in a way that would be more effective. But yeah, but that's hard because they have already done, like we've all said, you know, other things. And at what point do they need something more serious to take it seriously? And what if having them get in trouble is what is like, okay, no one's going to bail me out anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to change things myself and do better.
Yeah.
Or they go and do something worse because you did bail them out, or I don't know. And it's hard too because we don't know what this parent has already done.
Yeah.
To help them, would you send them off somewhere? Would you maybe pay for them to be seen by somebody? It's a tough situation.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no guarantee that what you do is going to work, but I know as a parent, and it's the wrong answer. Like if you think about it on the whole, but as a parent, I would not be able to help myself from trying to at least have one more wake-up call with them.
Yeah, because you don't want their dumb mistakes to ruin their life.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen people who have done a lot of really dumb things in high school and college, and they straightened out, and they're totally normal, functional members of society. People are just dumb. Especially people who have access to things sometimes are dumber because they just don't realize the consequences.
Yeah.
And it takes them longer to grow up and realize, like, even I look back at some things, and I was a good kid, but I look back at some things and think, that really could have gone sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't definitely know when you're 20, 18, 20, like you don't know.
Yeah, I could see myself asking the police or like explaining to them, like, these are the things I'll do at home. Like, I'll do this and this and this. I'll handle this, you know, to like maybe try to prove that like I could have a handle on things. Mm-hmm. But that sucks.
It's a really tough situation. I just think follow your mom gut, I guess.
My neighbor drove drunk, wrecked the truck, and his mom came and got in the truck so that when the police came to tow it out ditch, it wasn't a drunk 17-year-old.
Wow. I know someone who got in a wreck. They were drinking, and someone behind them knew them, stopped to make sure they were okay, and they were like, I'm okay, but take this alcohol out of my car. And so they did take the alcohol out of the car and then called the police.
Oh, I see.
They had been drinking in the car.
Mm.
So their friends helped cover it up. So I mean,
I could see myself doing that too. If you guys got pulled over, I would do that for you. Hillary, get here quick. Yeah. Get all this beer out of my car.
All the times we're out there driving with open containers.
Yeah.
All the times we're out there drunk driving.
Also, don't drunk
drink. No, that's just seriously. Dumb. That is a whole other discussion. Like that, I would probably handle that differently. That feels different because you could be, well, I don't know. Robbing a liquor store is pretty bad too. I don't know. I just, you know what? I don't want to be a parent to teenagers.
It's coming.
Let's send them off.
Yeah.
Let someone else parent them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send mine to a monastery.
All right. We're ready for question number two?
Yeah.
Okay. My stomach is in knots over the guilt and stupidity of what ended my 2-year-long relationship. My boyfriend went through a random notebook I had in my kitchen and found a draft note I was going to write for a GoFundMe donation. It was a guy I had dated years ago and lost communication with him before I even met my boyfriend. He suffered a traumatic medical emergency requiring open heart surgery, and from the article, it was pretty life-altering. I felt terrible for him and wanted to donate. I started to write a message in the notebook that I would write and then stopped and decided not to donate. While thinking and doodling, I had his name on the page and even doodled my name with his last name on the page, but it was truly just doodling. This only made my boyfriend furious. He says he cannot trust me any longer. I tried to reason with him that I never talked to him, donated, or reached out to him in any way. It was hurtful because he had done something similar where he lied to me and said he never responded to his ex-girlfriend when her father passed. He lied and was texting her for weeks. I tried to work to rebuild the trust. He said it was not the same. I feel horrible. He has me blocked and is serious. It's so painful. How do I fix this?
I think that they don't need to be together.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Sounds like neither one of them are invested in each other.
Agreed. I don't have any notebooks where I'm doodling my name with other guys.
But also, even if you, because I am a doodler when I'm on the phone. Like, I sit at my desk and I doodle. And sometimes I look down at my notes and I'm like, yeah, what the heck? So for your boyfriend of 2 years to not be able to look at you and you say, I was doodling in a notebook while
or also him to just say, I'm texting my ex, her dad just died.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is clearly not a stable relationship for either of you. And
yeah, there's not a lot of
because he's already had an emotional affair and then he doesn't trust.
Well, it didn't have to have been. It could have just
been. He was texting with an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, but her father died. Why can't that just be texting?
Right. For weeks.
We don't know what it was. I'm just
saying. And it sounds like he was hiding it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
She's probably super jealous. And he knew, like, if I tell her I'm texting my ex-girlfriend because her father died, it was going to be a whole thing.
Wait, no. Why is it her fault? I mean, honestly, if he's texting someone.
Yeah, the weeks is too long.
Yeah,
but
that's too long
that
to not know.
He couldn't just tell her up front at the beginning, oh, I'm texting her.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest, and this is scandalous. I don't even believe her that he was texting for weeks with the ex-girlfriend. She just sounds a little dramatic.
No, I don't think so. I think they went through something. It was probably an emotional affair. They thought they had repaired the relationship, and now it's seemingly happening again. So he's mad, A, that he got busted and can't have his emotional affair, and B, he knows not to trust her because he's also not trustworthy. So I think they just need to be done.
It's bad on both ends.
And she may have not had an emotional affair herself. Like, she didn't, I believe she didn't talk to the ex or donate. Which, okay, a couple things. Why didn't she donate?
Yeah, no.
Right. She She didn't self-donate.
She didn't have to write a letter. She's like, I just decided. To me, that sounds like it was bringing up old feelings.
It's dramatic.
So she decided to not donate. But if you are having such strong feelings that you can't write a note or donate, that's something you need to look inward. Also, I doodle constantly. Yeah. And I never would write my name with an ex's last name.
No.
And That's weird.
I have an ex that something traumatic did happen to them. And I sent a note and signed it from Kristen and James. And it wasn't anything shady or scandalous. Like, it can be fine. And James knew about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I'll doodle like every person's name I know. Mm-hmm. But I don't say like, actually, my serious boyfriend before Peter had the same last name as me.
That would have been so funny.
So I do actually write his last name quite a bit.
That's funny.
I don't know, but just because you wouldn't
doodle your ex-boyfriend's name doesn't mean that it's out of the realm of possibility that someone is sitting on the and writing this note and writes it.
Can we ask one of the husbands if they would be ask Peter? Okay. Can we call him? Do you think he'd be okay?
And so like, we call him
for a phone call. Like if we found a notebook where you had doodled,
I can call him,
Mrs.
Be a good one. Hey, can you talk for a minute?
Sure. What's up? Please don't put me on the podcast.
Too late. We can cut it if we need to.
No, he's gonna be great. You're gonna do great.
I have a question.
What?
If you opened up one of my notebooks and I was writing my last name with another
Mrs. Yule, Hillary.
Hillary Yule.
He wouldn't think anything. He'd be
threatened by?
If I wrote Hillary Yule over
or one of the
over,
dads
he
at
wouldn't
school.
Be threatened by
one of the dads
it
at school.
It would be weird. Yeah.
It wouldn't be weird with Derek.
Would do it with Derek.
Okay, if I'd written Hillary Yule over and over again, would you be weirded out?
Mrs. Hillary Blackburn.
Yeah. I think that was weird.
Okay.
Oh, wow, even you.
But
okay.
Would you be mad at her?
Would you be mad if I did that?
I don't think I would be mad.
Just a conversation.
What if it was like a guy that I had dated?
I don't know. I guess it's possible I'd be mad. I'd just be like, what is this?
I was like, it's nothing. I was just doodling.
Like, okay, well, that's weird.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't dump her.
You've never done that before, so
I feel like y'all are too committed. Like it's not like he's gonna leave you for that.
All right, hide her notebook, everybody.
Okay. Well, I'm not doing that. Now I'm gonna do it on purpose, just around the house.
Find random, like the weirdest names,
random last names.
Hillary Nelson.
James will show up to poker and he'll punch him in the face.
Oh man.
Okay, thank you.
All right, love you.
Bye. Mrs. Yule.
Should I ask James?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you be on the podcast for a second? Peter was just on.
Sure.
Okay. Let's just say that you were flipping through one of my notebooks at home, right?
Okay.
And you found that I had been doodling my name, like Mrs. Kristen, insert last name, like maybe an ex-boyfriend's name.
A good friend.
A good friend's name.
Zimbicki.
Yeah, like what if I had been doodling like Mrs. Kristen Zimbicki or even like an ex's last name or something? Would you be mad about that?
I would be confused and, yeah, probably a little like upset. Outraged at Zimbicki. I mean, for obvious reasons.
Okay, but what if it was an ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty bad.
Oh, really? Okay. When you say pretty bad, what are you saying?
Yeah, I mean, that to me is like, I don't know, like ideation or fantasizing about like an ex. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty bad.
All right. So you're saying, okay, would you dump someone over that?
I wouldn't end our marriage over that. But I mean,
if we were like 2 years in,
he's considering it after 20 years of marriage.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Bye, James.
Bye. So sounds like both of your
hide your notebooks, everybody.
Sounds like both of your
husbands are not okay with this. Mm.
Which I mean, I can see why.
Yeah,
because you're definitely fantasizing something.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. When I'm doodling, I'm aimlessly doodling. But you're not doodling, Mrs. Whatever. I don't know. I think I could.
All right, let's look at Megan's notebooks.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes, like if I'm on the phone with someone for like a work purpose, I could like. I don't think I would write like Megan, whatever the person I'm talking to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, because I doodle sometimes and I'll doodle my maiden name. Like I'll do Kristen McKellar, but I'll add the Nelson. Like I just do my maiden. Like I don't do anyone else's name.
Right. I do my maiden name.
Yeah. But sometimes like my middle kids name. Names, yes. Kids but sometimes names, like I do the name of the person I'm talking to.
Somebody's right. Last name with your first name.
Yeah. We've, they're done.
They're done. Break up. It's done. I just think so too. Yeah. Go find Mr. Doodle Boy.
Okay.
Number three, third and final. My coworker and I work closely alongside each other and our pay is driven by customer reviews. Not only that, but the top performers are given lucrative bonuses based on these reviews. Cut to a few days ago, I got a review that said I was rude to customers and that she is kind and compassionate and resolved an issue I caused. The very next day, I had to work from her computer, and when I logged in, I found proof that she had created a fake email address and had written the review. I'm devastated because I considered her an actual friend, and I got a very serious talk about this review from my boss. Should I let my supervisor know or confront her myself?
I have so many questions. Supervisor. First of all, what the hell kind of job is being paid based on reviews?
Call centers and things really? Like that. Oh, yeah. Like a lot of jobs I used to hire for, like nurses even, mm-hmm. were part of their pay.
Yeah, but then there has to be a way to make sure that it's not other employees doing this kind of stuff. That's crazy. That is crazy.
I don't know what their system
I'm
is.
I'm sorry. If you're getting paid by reviews,
it's
quit that job.
Bonuses, though.
Yeah, no. That's very common in customer service. And
yeah, but I don't... But
no, my friend has a real event job, and her bonus is based on reviews, mm-hmm. and
that's why they want even server jobs on the cruises. Like that's why they're so adamant.
Yeah,
about
but there's a way of tracking where those reviews are coming
this
from.
May not be.
I can't just log on and be like, Zoe's a bitch and I hate her, and then your boss be
excuse
like,
you.
But Zoe, no bonus for you. Like no. I'd be doing that all day, creating fake profiles.
This is
Megan rocks. Zoe sucks.
I have an example of this. This actually
you said
happened.
Megan.
Yeah, she did. This happened at my last job where I worked. This actually happened to me, I guess, sort of. Oh my God, now I'm outraged by this again. Okay, this did happen to me. On Glassdoor, you know, you can leave reviews about your recruiter and your mm-hmm. interview process.
Yeah.
And I was a recruiter. And as part of this process, a lot of things for this person did not go well. They were not necessarily my fault, but as the face of the company, I get blamed. It was like travel issue, you know, just everything that could go wrong in the situation went wrong. So despite my apologies, this person left a terrible review, blamed me, and even threw in things that were like far. Like, it was like reaching. It was like me personally and stuff like this. But of course, the person that left this review had been interviewing for a very high level position on the customer experience team for the company. So the head, like the vice president of customer experience, got this review and was like, what the hell is happening in the company that like our recruiters are giving this person such a bad impression of the company that this makes our whole company look bad. It was on our Glassdoor page. Anyway, it was like a whole thing. So this can happen. And that was part of my job.
But again,
and part of my review.
Yeah. But again, that's like verifiable. It's not.
But it wasn't all totally factual.
Yeah. But
because it was public facing, I did get the heat for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you should quit your job.
It can happen. No, she shouldn't quit her job.
I mean, it happens in a lot of jobs, just like online reviews. And mm-hmm. even there's websites that review teachers where I've known teachers that were amazing. Mm-hmm. And they had that one parent that didn't like what they had to say and get on and write a bunch of, you know, stuff that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens. But to answer this question, if it were me and my friend, if I got on her computer and I saw that, I would screenshot it and
hell
I would tell my supervisor immediately. I would not tiptoe around that situation. I would be livid.
And then you know you can't trust this friend. This is not your friend.
They are not a friend. No.
This person is, cutthroat. Like they want the money and they don't care if they cut you out of it.
Yeah, I would be hurt, but also in that moment, I would be so heated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would probably be digging a little further. Mm-hmm. What else is in here?
Mm-hmm.
The screenshot.
So would any of us confront the coworker?
I would, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would.
Before talking to the supervisor or after?
Depends on if they're sitting next to me when I find it.
Yeah.
I guess that depends. I would. I would
I
say,
feel
like
hey, I would, too.
I found this, and by the way, I'm going to be going to so-and-so.
I think I would after. I think I would go to the supervisor first.
Yeah, because you don't want to give her any time to prepare a story.
I've been easily convinced, mm-hmm. and I would feel guilty, and they'd have some story, and I wouldn't want to do it. I'd have to go right away.
Oh, that wasn't me. I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I let Bill use my computer. It was Bill.
Yeah. I was having such a bad day. I didn't mean it.
I need money for this. It's just so important. Little Jimmy needs shoes.
Yeah. I would instantly feel guilty. So I know myself well enough that I know I'd have to turn them in right away.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would too. I'd want to clear my name. I don't even care about the money. I just don't like to be in trouble for things.
Mm-hmm.
Especially something you didn't do.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But then I would know I couldn't trust this person. Don't
well,
like.
No, I mean, hopefully this person's getting fired.
They may not get fired for one
No,
offense,
they need to get fired. They need to get fired.
Just don't trust them again. You know you can't trust them.
No, if they're doing things in the company to mess with someone else's pay, reputation, they need to be fired.
I agree.
Yeah.
As always, thanks for taking our advice. Keep sending in your anonymous questions at sistersnotsaints.com and follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters Not Saints Podcast. Help the sisters out and be sure to follow, rate, and review us wherever you're listening to this episode. It really helps us out. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
See you next time.
next week.